complicated, but theft is still a human exercise.
I don't get cable, Roy. For me, TV is TV is TV. You know, sometimes I turn on the football game because it's very relaxing.
Okay, well, once again, different strokes for different folks. Different people like different things. I like to read. Every so often, I'll bump into someone who just kind of tells me, oh, I don't read. Okay, you don't read. So, you know, again, as long as no one's sending me a bill for his books or for his Netflix subscriptions or what have you, whatever floats your boat, I try and like to kind of get a general sense of society so that if I pick up some trashy magazine like People or Us, my general response will not be, who the heck are all these strange people? But nevertheless, you know, if you want, you can just direct your goals to other things. It's fine.
Well, you know, Roy, I think that it's quite fantastic, and I take a big interest in people who do things differently, you know, not the way that everybody else does, and that's just the way I am.
Okay, that's legitimate. You know, I like to kind of sample the entire population. There are people who do the same thing and get very famous for it for reasons that I'm not quite sure why. And occasionally I like to try and figure out why the hell anyone's listening to these fools. But, you know, again, you have a certain net time on this world. You get, hopefully, if you're fortunate enough, the opportunity to choose how you spend it, and it's a personal decision. It's not for me to say how you spend your life. It's not for you to say how someone else spends their life. They spend it as they see appropriate.
No arguments, Roy. You know, I'm going to say, people who do things differently, you know, there's like, a whole fascination for that, you know. I think that most everybody, you know, they'll read a book or they'll watch TV or they'll do most, how to say, the things that more people do. You know, maybe, you know, you can get more out of 20 minutes of meditation twice a day.
Okay, and I'm sure for some people they do. And I'm sure, knowing the nature of human beings, there are other people who have no patience who probably can't sit still for more than about 30 seconds, where that probably wouldn't help them. So, again, it's a free country, thank God. You can meditate. You can learn to meditate. There are a lot of different methods to achieve that. You can find if it works for you, and if it does, great, and if it doesn't, okay.
Yeah, you can do that. You know, you can walk into a house of worship. You could turn on a radio, just listen to shortwave broadcasts, that amplitude modulation broadcast. You know, you can... I had this question I wanted to ask you, but I don't think I'm going to ask you today because I think it would be a good topic to discuss next week.
Okay, that's fine. We can hold it off till next week. This gives me a good opportunity to ask. You know, I tried to raise Rich, W2BZ. Rich, are you out there, or have you kind of left us for tonight? Okay, I guess he's left us for tonight. Also, there was Jim, KD2VHD. I'm sorry it took so long, but are you out there tonight?
I am here.
Okay, very good, Jim. I think we'll kind of table the discussion on cathode ray tubes and liquid crystal displays and television sets in general for the time being. And David, if you want to bring up your question next Sunday, I'll be more than happy to address it. We only have a small amount of time left, and I wanted to make some for Jim. What's your question tonight, Jim?
Short comment and a related question. It's pretty clear that a number of folks have been putting a lot of work into making this repeater system up to speed, fixing, repairing, whatever it takes. I wanted to extend my appreciation to them. It's clear when you listen to them on the radio, they've been putting a lot of effort into it, so I thank them all. End of comment.
Okay, very good. I double your emotion. I agree with you entirely. It is a thankless task. They put a lot of time and a lot of effort and a lot of miles going back and forth, and we're very, very lucky to have them.
I concur. And my question is related to that. I was wondering if anybody could briefly explain the technology involved with the repeater links on this repeater, or if it's more appropriate just a generic type of thing, because I don't quite get how that system works. I was wondering if somebody could give a brief idea of that system.
Okay, I'll try my best, and if there's anyone out there who has a better way of describing it and would like to try their best, they're free to do it. I will try and keep it concise. Basically, the link between Selden and Glen Oak is a relatively simple concept. You can link them using different technologies. Theoretically, you can link them through internet service providers using voice over internet protocols. That is not how ours is done. Ours is done through an RF link. It's a simple matter of a transceiver at both ends at a frequency that is not in use by any repeater system, and antennas pointed at each other. The input from Glen Oaks is transmitted to Selden. The input of Selden is transmitted to Glen Oaks through that duplex transceiver connection. And it's just a very relatively simple RF link.
That's the easy part. The hard part is getting them to work and play nicely together, WBKB.
Yes, indeed. There's the theory and there's the practice, but I think Jim wanted the simple theory as opposed to the complicated practice.
That was very well put. Very well put. I get it. So in theory, then, that system should be independent of general breakdowns in communication. Whatever, as long as there's power to that system, it should work, correct?
Yes, in theory it should. Now, recently my understanding was that the transmitter on Glen Oak transceiver was starting to fail. It had dropped to something like 10 decibels of power. So that was why, and also there was a little bit of desensing going on at Selden. So sometimes you would have people hearing Glen Oak transmissions, and sometimes you wouldn't. They would come, they would go, they get worse, they get better. So they swapped out the power amplifier for a full power one, and that problem disappeared.
They seem to be making some good progress. When they make an improvement, it's really an improvement. So I guess the last part of the question is, if that link was to fail, would the two repeaters then work independently in their areas?
Yes, that's exactly what would happen, unless they could reestablish a link. I guess theoretically, if there was an IRLP connection that was working between the two, you could relink them through that. That would be an internet link as opposed to an RF link. But if you kill the link, they become two completely separate repeaters. They do not have the range and ability to repeat signals from each other just going by the output signal of Selden and Glen Oak's repeater.
Although if there was a unidirectional failure, that would cause chaos.
WS2N.
Yes, I agree with you, Ed, that there's a lot of ways you can get chaos in the world. Paul, what do you want to say?
That's the way the repeaters were many years ago. They were independent, these two repeaters. and then they decided to link them together. And for many years we had the, like you said earlier, Roy, the internet connection, connecting the two, and there was a delay, you know, when you would transmit through, say, Selden, you know, you would, and if you were listening, you know, to the other repeater, you would hear this 2-second delay. You would hear, you know, if I was talking, it would be like a constant echo, maybe a 1.5-second delay. So, you know, that was pretty hard to get used to. Now, you if you put both of them on, you could hear them going at the exact same time because of the, I think they have a 33-centimeter link between the two of them now. If I'm not mistaken, you know, RF, which I like better. You know, you have major power failures, you know, as long as these two repeaters have generators behind them, you know, backup systems, you know, they will stay linked together. Where the internet, you know, that could fail during a major problem. Back to you, Roy.
Yeah, I would agree. By the way, I think the link is 70 centimeters. I'm curious what the latency problems were from. Was it through a voice over internet protocol link at the time before they shifted to a radio link? Because, you know, using good old transceivers, the latency delays are minuscule, but depending upon how they did the voice over internet protocol, it can take a long, long time. I stream the audio of this repeater through IceCat, and it's not unusual to have a 20-second latency delay.
Yeah, it was always about a 1.5-second delay, and through that computer link. It was interesting, you know, Dick used to talk about it all the time, because he wore headphones, and it didn't bother him to listen to this delay as he was talking, you know, he would be hearing himself. So I thought, well, I'll try that, you know, how hard could that be? Oh, wow. I mean, I found that impossible. But, you know, I tried it a couple of times, but not easy. Big difference with the RF link.
And Y2H?
Yes, Lou.
So going back to when we had an internet link with a delay, I think that was the prime reason that Eric put together this four-tone courtesy tone when the net is on, just to let people drag their feet. I don't think we need it anymore. So if you ever want to revert back to something maybe a little less melodic or more soothing, let me know.
Leave it alone.
I don't know. I don't believe in nostalgia. I would vote personally to bring it back to one beep. It suffices. We all know what the one beep is. I knew people who were driven insane by that melody that they heard when listening to the technical net. So, you know, I understand people kind of get used to things, but I wouldn't cry if the courtesy tone went back to one beep personally.
I vote with Roy, WS2N.
All righty, we'll make that happen. Okie doke.
Okay, very good. Thank you, Lou. And once again, you and the rest of the guys at the repeater committee are our most valuable members. I really appreciate that all you do for us in keeping these repeaters functioning as well as they are. And just getting back to Paul's comment, I remember Dick used to listen to the output, so he knew if anything strange was happening. I once had an iPhone app that specifically was designed to confuse people. It would play back the microphone with just a bit of latency error and turn me into a babbling fool. Now, I guess theoretically, if you train yourself a lot, if you start with a very, very, very short latency and slowly extend it, you might train your brain into not turning into taffy, but I never had the patience to attempt it. It really, if you want to sound like a fool. And you don't do it narrowly. I'm sure Android has an app like that, but I know iPhones do. I forget what it's called. But they do have apps where they will play back your voice with a latency error, and you can see for yourself how confusing it gets.
It's pretty bad. And I think Andy used to do it too, CDL. But no, that wasn't for me. Since Lou is on, I wonder, is it a 70 centimeter link, or is it, I remember they were talking about 902 33 at one time. What did they go with, Lou? We don't like to talk about that too much. Oh, okay, very good. Thanks. Back to you, Rick.
WHCDL.
Yes, Andy.
See that? You never know who's listening. I actually have a technical question, sort of. Are you up for one?
For moi?
There's a photo that I'm trying to find on my Android phone, which I just took yesterday, and for some reason I had it today. I think I had it today, and now it's gone. Photo is just not there, and I need it. How do I recover a photo that sort of like disappeared, and I don't know where it went?
Okay, that's a great question, and once again, unfortunately, I'm not particularly an Android guy, I'm an iPhone guy. Ordinarily, if it was something like in a computer, I'd say look at the recycle bin. I don't know if Android has recycle bins. I don't even know exactly what directory they store it. I don't know if you can plug it into a computer and use a computer to kind of run through a file manager to see where things are hidden. So if there's anyone out there who certainly knows Android better than I, please key in.
Connected to the computer, to the USB port, and go to my computer, you're going to see another device. You got to punch your password on your phone, and then your phone is going to react as another hard drive, and then you can go to the files in it. And actually, as long as you have open password, you can dig into those files and find out all files in related to the pictures and text and fiction.
And WS2N?
Yes, Paul.
The common problem with the with those phones, I don't know which phone you have, Andy, but I have the same problem. I have Android, and by having too many apps and eventually too many pictures without deleting pictures, without having a lot of useless apps, you run out of memory, and you'll take a picture, and maybe you might be trying to send it over to your other computer or something, and you're trying to send it to somebody else. Maybe you're going to try to send the picture to somebody else. It just won't go, and it's like gone. If it's that problem, you just get rid of apps that you're not using, and creates more memory. And you can check your phone for how much memory you got. You might be out of memory. Back to you, Ron.
Okay, that's a terrible technique for memory management on Google's part, but geez. So you got any good ideas from Wesley and Paul, Andy?
I'm not sure. The photo was on my phone yesterday, and it's gone. And I just did a search on Google to try to figure out how to restore photos and videos, and it tells me where to go, which I just did. But when I go where it says to me to go, it says there's nothing there. That's kind of interesting. I'm not sure, because it says touch and hold the photo or video you want to restore. Well, there is no photo or video. It's gone. But I didn't delete it. And when I go into deleted photos, it says this folder is empty. There is no photos I deleted. It just, like, disappeared. Oh. So I got to figure this out.
Yes, Wesley, recognize. One second, Wesley. I just want to ask Andy if there's any way he can check on the memory capacity of his cell phone, because if, as Paul suggested, this might be a phenomenon that it just filled up the memory, there's no place to store anything anymore. So the program tries to store the file in memory, gets an error because there's not enough space, and simply throws it away. But if you could find out at least if there's a capacity indication in your cell phone, you can at least check that off as not the cause of what's going on.
Hey, Paul, they should push on the blue origin and get you the hell out of here.
Should be a trash bin.
There is a program, so you have your regular computer, and there is a program, www.voidtools, one word, voidtools.com. The program is called Everything, or Search Everything. Now, when this thing finds anything and everything in your computer, and it does it in lightning speed. So anything you want to find, you find it. Now, when you connect your phone and you open it with your password and you connect it with your USB, now this phone will become like another hard drive. Now, this program will search all of the hard drives and find any information you want. So if that photo is still there, we'll find it. And it takes probably 5 seconds, maybe 2 seconds. And I have a terabyte of hard drive, and it takes a few seconds to find any information. So again, the program is www.voidtools.com, and it's called Everything. Thank you.
All right, I'll give it a try. I don't think it's going to work because I can't find the photo that's on the phone in the first place. So I'm not sure. I'm still trying to go through my phone. I had this on the phone just a few hours ago, and I did not do anything. I didn't add anything that would take up more memory space, and I did not delete anything that would give me more memory space. I didn't do anything. I just used the phone, and that was it. So the question is, where did this photo go? I can't find it. It's just not there. And it's not in my trash, my photo trash file list. It is not there either. I have to figure this out. All right, I don't want to hold up the net and Paul. So, boy, back to you. I got to do something here.
Hey, Tua, CP.
Yes. Chris, yes.
CP, I want to ask you, when you're on your phone looking for this photograph, I'm sure you're using the app, the built-in app called Photos, I believe is what it's called, whatever the app is that views photos. Just do me a favor, or yourself a favor, and check how it is sorting. So check that it's not being displayed by date, or maybe it's being displayed by file name or by some other feature. And maybe you're just sorted differently than what you normally are. By default, it's by date, and maybe you think you're looking by date,
2STP.
How you doing, Chris? Are you familiar with an Android phone?
Very limited. I have an Android device. I rarely use it, so not really, but, you know, they all work the same. Software is software.
Android stores photos that you take with the camera, the built-in camera, in an app called Gallery. So in my gallery, I have all these photos that I've taken in the past, and they go by year, month, and day. So the last day, what's today's date? Today's the 2nd. The last day was yesterday, January 1st, when I took this picture. And it's showing January 1st of the day, and the photo is not there. I have something like 100 and something photos going back. This one photo that I took yesterday was there today, this morning. It was there, and now it is gone. And I did not delete it. I didn't move it. I didn't put it into the trash location. I didn't do anything. It just disappeared.
My Android also has something called Albums. Give that one a try.
I did that. It's not seeing it in Albums. It's not seeing it in Photos. It's not seeing it in Memories. And it's not seeing it in Play. At least I don't see the photo that I took.
Trash bin.
Well, yeah, if you go to, which I did, there was a Google Photos app, and then you tap on Library Trash. That's what you tap on, and you touch and hold the photo or video you want to restore. But when I go to Trash, it says there is nothing in Trash. Trash is empty.
How much memory do you have left?
I have to look, but I didn't add anything. I didn't change anything, and then the photo was there this morning. I did not do anything that would use up more memory on my phone. So, anyway, that's it. Let me give it to back to Roy. I'll have to figure this one out.
So what I'm saying is, if you have a full hard drive in the NVR, and then another day comes and you have no more space, they do it this way, the first day disappear and the last day is added. So in other words, you might have not enough of memory to store any more pictures in your phone and to actually...
Yeah, but it was already stored on my phone. I put this on yesterday and it was there today. So I'm not adding anything, I'm not deleting anything. It just disappeared. I didn't touch the memory.
So what I said is, you just make another photo and see if that photo disappears too. It's just the way that the software is emptying the space to make the space for whatever it needs, needed it use. So it depends from how the software works. Make sure the pictures, and then see if you're going to see them tomorrow. Then you would know, or check how much space do you have in your phone. And to share.
Yeah, and even if I make another photo and it disappears, it still doesn't help me, because I have a wiring diagram photo that I need, and it's gone, and I don't know what the wiring diagram is. So even if I find out how much memory I have left, or I create another photo which will use up more memory, the question I still have is, how do I get that wiring diagram back?
You probably will not. What I'm saying is, you would know what is causing it.
Yeah, but I'm not interested in what's causing it. I'm interested in getting it back. I just want to see the photo. Then once I get the photo back, then I'll figure out what's causing it. But that's not really my interest right now, anyway.
Okay, I'm laughing. Okay, so happy new photos.
Okay, let me give it back to Roy so he can pass it around because it's getting late.
Okay, very good. I mean, firstly, before I experimented by loading stuff into the memory and seeing if it poof disappears, I would kind of dump everything into the computer so that you could rummage through the files and see if it was mislabeled and sent to some weird directory, if at all possible. The possibility that I think Wesley is touching upon is it might not have storage memory space. So what it's doing is storing it in temporary, somewhat volatile memory, and then when you power off the cell phone completely, it just loses the bits into space. I hope not, but again, before I would start to add new stuff to your cell phone, I would dump the data to your hard drive. So you got a, you know, it's not a great chance, but it's not a zero chance of finding it hidden away in some inscrutable, corrupted file format or directory someplace.
A2SCP.
Yes, Chris.
So, just a couple of quick things. Andy, if you had emailed it to anyone, it would be in your sent items. Just check that. Or if you texted it someone, it might be in that text still. But if it's gone, it's gone because you ran out of memory. And you're saying you didn't add anything to the phone, but I'm betting you're getting your email to that phone. And when you get emails, it can actually fill up memory. So that could have been why it was deleted. K2SCP.
Yeah, okay, Chris. Well, that would be interesting if the phone doesn't tell me that my memory is full and I do get emails every day on my phone. But that would be something if the email needs room and space to be placed on my phone and it's deleting a photo in place of that without even telling me it's doing that. That's not good. Especially since I would take a photo of something that I need. So it's a possibility that it was replaced with something else that came in, but I don't see how or why something else would cause a photo to disappear. So if that's the case, that's not good. I don't like that.
Dr. Roy told you, dump everything to your computer. So the same way like you're trying to find out that photo that you think is missing, you connect it with the cable to your computer, to the USB, directly to the computer. And then you go to my computer and see if you see it. You're going to see it as another device along with the hard drive. And then after you dump it, at least you know that this part is safe. Now, there is a chance that you're going to see that file. But yes, if you're receiving the new emails or whatever the data is coming in, it's filling up the space. And the only difference, there is a device called NVR, Network Video Recorder. So those guys who have their camera systems, and it's network-based, IP-based, let's say there is a half of a year recording and there is no more space on a hard drive. So what it does is it's gonna take another day, but it's gonna remove the first day that was recording. So it's gonna keep exactly the same amount of day, but that's how it's cleaning yourself. Maybe your phone is doing that. I don't know if it's a Galaxy or it's LG, whatever you have. But I saw it also. And to a chair.
Yeah, I have it connected to my computer. Let me try it that way and see if I can see what photos come up. That would be something if it comes up on my computer, but I don't see it on the phone. All right, I'm going to do that right now because I've done that before, but not lately. Okay, thank you.
KD2VHT.
Yes, Jim.
I was just looking at my Android device, and up at the top on the gallery, third from the right, there's a widget that groups and ungroups similar photos. I don't know what the heck it does, but it's worth looking at.
Hi, Jim. Where is this?
In the gallery, up at the top, there's the three dots, and there's the magnifying glass, and it's the next one over is like kind of a box with an angle next to it. And it says group, if you press it, it says group similar images. It's possible that got pressed by accident and shuffled something around.
I don't see that on my phone. I may have a different version of Android than you have. It's next to the three dots. There's nothing to the right. There's a magnifying glass, and then to the right is the three dots, and that's it. There's nothing to the right of that.
Yeah, click on those three dots.
Check the trash bin.
When you click on three dots, just put your finger on three dots, vertical dots. Then you have a camera, edit, share, create GIF, create collage, slideshow, trash, settings, contact us, and go to trash.
Okay, I got it. You're right. It came back. Yeah, it somehow it got into trash, and that's where it is. I see it now. Thank you. That's great. How it got here?
You have no more space in your phone.
But my but my phone is not telling me. It allowed me to take the picture. This was yesterday. It says albums and files will be permanently deleted after being in trash for 7 days. But the phone never told me that I don't have any more memory left. So I didn't. That's why I went here. Okay. But I didn't know it went here because it didn't tell me. But I found it.
Andy, right now, email it to me. I don't want it, but at least it'll be in your sent folder if it really gets lost.
Yeah, I can transfer this to my computer also. All right, I got the wiring diagram back. All right, thank you. It's for work. I need it for work. All right. Thank you very much. I appreciate the help. So it was in the trash folder. Okay, it's a lesson to be learned.
Move it out of the trash folder.
It's a time for space report. I want to tell you a very short story. You could some website sometime, and you very much preoccupied on those websites, and why those websites were created. So much of the stuff that you're watching, and sometimes it's very slowly loading, but you're watching them, and then look at your phone. So that's how I lost plenty of pictures too. But anyhow, it doesn't have to be a gentleman website. It could be any website. That's how they're scanning your computer. And to actually, your network, I'm sorry.
AC2GX. Well, Andy? Great to hear. You have your picture back. As Ed said, get a copy of it sent someplace else that's secure, and then noodle around and check out your memory storage function. You might be running out of memory. You might want to delete some photos or videos or get some more memory. I don't know how that phone works, but I'm glad the technical net could help you, and thanks to Chris and to Wesley and to Ed and to all the people that helped them.
Okay, I'm grateful. Yeah, this is the first time I've seen this this issue. I never had a problem with a photo that just moved itself into the trash folder, but it did. Okay. Thanks a lot, guys. I appreciate your help. Yeah, I'm going to. I'll make a copy of this. I won't. All the other photos I have is not a big deal, but this one. just what I just need for work for this week, so I got it. Okay, thanks. Roy, back to you, WATCDL. Continue.
Okay, very good. Good to facilitate your finding a solution. Paul, terribly sorry it took us this long, but please present us with the SpaceNet report.
Space Cadets.
No problem. Fixing things is a priority. The basic report is not. I'm glad Andy's found his picture. So very well done. And yet memory is the most common problem with the Android, especially an older phone like mine. It just does not have enough memory to do everything I want. So I got rid of apps and everything. I was able to continue taking pictures. Anyway, as far as the SpaceNet report goes, of course the main topic this week was the James Webb Space Telescope. We'll get back to that in a minute. You know, they went through, it was very successful so far. I mean, there was 140 different solenoid type of things that had to be released, 70 different hinge assemblies, all kinds of, I think, 400 pulleys, cables. And anyway, it's working out so far perfectly. But we'll get back to that in a minute. Last week we did a year in review of the year, what went on in the space programs around the world. So I thought this week we could just look to see what's going to be happening for the year of 2022. Instead of looking backward, we'll look forward. Last year we had the two different rovers that landed on Mars, the Chinese rover, and of course our Perseverance rover. We had Ingenuity helicopter and all of that. But we went through all of that last week. Coming up for 2022, we've got different landings of the moon by robotic equipment, such as Intuitive Machines will be launching robotic equipment in early couple of months from now, and then another one toward the end. Eventually, they're going to land one on the South Pole. I believe SpaceX will be launching it for them. You have other robotic missions by Astrobiotic, a company in Pittsburgh. They've been building lander for a long, long time, and that eventually will be sent to the moon this year. So, you know, we won't have any people going to the moon this year, but we'll have plenty of robotic missions. Rocket Lab is going to send a satellite to what will be eventually the Gateway Space Station orbit, which is highly elliptical orbit around the moon. It's going to go as close as maybe 1,000 miles above the surface to maybe 44,000 miles out. So it's going to test that orbit and see how stable it is. According to the laws of physics, it's going to be very stable, but they're going to send a smaller satellite there, a communication satellite. We'll see how it does. And that same company, Rocket Lab, they launch out of New Zealand. They now have two launch complexes in New Zealand to launch their rockets. But for the first time, they will launch their Electron rocket. That's what they call it, the Electron rocket, from Wallops Island, Virginia, which is not too far, of course, from here. And they'll be launching probably in the early part of 2022. On a regular basis, they'll be doing that. These are going to be reusable rockets, unlike SpaceX, where they either come back and land on land or land on an autonomous ship out at sea. These boosters will be coming down through the atmosphere on a paraglider that will open up, and you're going to have a helicopter go by with this hook type of arrangement, and grab a hold of the parachute as it's coming down, and then bring it down to a boat, you know, one of Rocket Lab's boats at sea. And eventually they'll start reusing those boosters as well. I mean, a comparison between Falcon 9 for SpaceX and Electron booster is you know, I mean, it's a Goliath compared to a David. Electron probably could launch maybe, you know, 400 or 500 pounds, maybe 600 pounds. Of course, SpaceX could launch 30,000 pounds, no problem. But there are plenty of companies that, you know, they need to have their satellite put up in space, you know, at a certain date. They don't need to wait for a ride-sharing program that SpaceX uses. They might be governed by, you know, by a certain inclination. If you want one particular inclination in your own time, you would sign up with Rocket Lab to use the Electron rocket to put your particular satellite into the orbit that you want at the time that you want. And people will pay for that. And they have been. I mean, they've launched like 23 rockets over the last couple of years. So, very successful company. A lot of investors have poured money into Rocket Lab. They're eventually developing a new, bigger rocket, which will eventually not only launch big cargo into space, but even people. That's going to be human-rated. We drop it. This is WS2N. I expect Firefly to launch their rocket and this time make it into orbit this year. They tried last year. Worked very good. I mean, first time a new company ever put a rocket on a launch pad. In this case, it was down in California, Vandenberg Air Force Base, and actually got off the ground. Usually, you know, there's a delay, problems, fires. They, you know, first rocket, no problem, took off, and it's a good sized rocket too. It's going to carry mid sized weights. You know, maybe 10,000 pounds up to that kind of weight. On Firefly, and it was, you know, I mean, I thought it was going to orbit. It got, first stage went great, second stage ignited, but then they lost one of the circuits going to the engine, and it started going out of control, so they hit the flight termination button, and that was it. You know, they blew it up, but I almost made it to orbit, and I expect them to make it to orbit this year and start flying regular missions by the end of the year. And another company, Astra, they did make it to orbit. They launched from Kodiak last year. I expect them to be doing the flight after flight. Their next flight is, they signed up with Cape Canaveral down in Florida, so they're going to use one of the launch complexes there. And I expect them to start making regular flights too. They're very similar to the size of a rocket that Rocket Lab has, the Electron rocket. Astra has a similar design too. They both run on electric motors. They spin the turbos up with electric motors. Your conventional rockets that, you know, have been around for decades, when the turbines spin, which pump the fuel and oxygen into the combustion chambers. When those things spin, they usually run on exhaust gas from the rocket system itself. You know, they have pre-burners and all. Not Astra and not the Electron rocket. They run on electric motors. I believe they're like 50 horsepower motors that spin up these turbines to 100,000 RPM. They use lithium-ion batteries to do that. And in fact, when you see an Electron rocket go up, you know, first stage separates, second stage ignites. They actually run out of power on one of the lithium-ion batteries. They actually deploy that, and that falls back and burns up in the atmosphere, and they switch over to another battery. That's an interesting system. They're able to make small rockets, much smaller rockets, with that kind of a design, and they can actually lift the heavy payloads. Both companies use that design, Astra and Rocketland. Okay, I'm in timed out here. Of course, SpaceX Dragon will continue to bring supplies up to the International Space Station. They also have reusable Crew Dragon will continue to bring people up four at a time to the International Space Station. They drop them off. The spacecraft stays attached to the space station for 6 months, and then they return back to Earth. And this year, in February, SpaceX is going to launch a private crew. This is paid for, not by taxpayers, but a private crew that's being, money's going through a company called Axiom. Axiom is a company that eventually will be attaching new modules to the space station. Their ultimate goal is to build their own space station, so they'll have probably eventually three modules attached to the space station. And when the space station is decommissioned in the 2030s, by the way, this is the Biden administration has already pushed to allow the space station to continue that long. But when that's decommissioned, Axiom will separate their three modules with solar panels and everything, and they'll have their own space station. And they'll be able to fly their own private people up to their space station. But in the meantime, they don't have that yet. But they do have people signed up for $50 million apiece, four people. One guy is an ex-astronaut. He'll be a commander of that mission. And NASA gave this private group permission to dock with the International Space Station for 10 to 14 days. And they'll spend time up there. They have plans on doing science. NASA said, well, you can do it, but you'll have to be doing science and contribute. And they are going to do that. So that's an interesting flight. So that will be in February. And, of course, your suborbital flights that made the news this year. Jeff Bezos with his Blue Origin company launching the New Shepard rocket with originally four people at a time. Now it's six people at a time. I expect them to do at least four or five flights this year. And I would imagine at least probably the middle of the year by that time, Richard Branson should get his spaceship back in working order. They made some changes. He flew, of course, last year with four people plus two people flying the spacecraft, a commander and a pilot, successfully flew to a suborbital flight. So I expect those flights to start to resume sometime in 2022 as well. And one mission spacecraft that will probably definitely make the news is the DART mission. That's the one that will be flying to an asteroid, crashing into the asteroid. The news loves that story, they launched 2021, and they'll be crashing into the asteroid in 2022. There's another CubeSat that will separate from it that will actually take pictures of what happens when it happens. And then about a year from now, European Space Agency will launch another mission to that same asteroid and take pictures and see what it looks like a year or so after it crashes into it. Anyway, I got time to cover one topic I really wanted to cover, which is the James Webb Space Telescope. Doing very good. It launched Christmas morning. I got to see that. Normally we get up to early in the morning to open up packages for gifts. One of the things I was staring at 7:20 in the morning was the TV. I brought up a NASA TV, and they had launch of the James Webb Space Telescope. Everything went fine. During liftoff from the Ariane 5 rocket from French Guiana Kourou Launch Complex, European Space Agency launched it for us, and took off. The two solid boosters separated. By the way, this rocket is it's roughly the size of the space shuttle system. It even has the large solid booster rockets attached to it. They separated, and then the core took over. The core with one Vulcan engine took it about 60 miles up, and then eventually that separated. And then the second stage, also a liquid helium, liquid oxygen rocket took over and pushed James Webb to escape velocity, which was around 23,500 miles an hour at the time. And then that second stage separated, and James Webb was on its own. They didn't expect the solar panel to deploy right away, but it did, because it was in a perfect location. It had sensors on board, and it knew where it was starting to face the sun at that point. So the panel opened up. You could actually see that. They had a live video coming from the second stage. And that, you know, once that was gone, that's it. No human eye will ever probably see the James Webb Space Telescope ever again. They have dozens and dozens of sensors and thermometers and vibration indicators on board. So mission control is getting plenty of data back. So it took off. After about 12 hours, actually a little bit before that, they have a KA band, 2-foot diameter antenna that deployed. And before that, they were using an omnidirectional type of antenna on S band. This thing is on KA band. You know, eventually we'll be able to send like 28 kilobits of information through that antenna. So, you know, as you guys know, our KA band is way up there. Plenty of throughput. We'll be done with that system once they're able to take pictures with the James Webb Space Telescope. 2 days later, the mid-course correction took place, which was important. Like I said, the escape velocity is like a little over 23,000 miles an hour. But, you know, you start to slow down. I mean, you're still in the gravity well. Earth is trying to slow you down all the time. And it's been doing that all along. What they do with the Ariane 5 is they actually undershoot. The goal is to put this thing four times the distance of the moon's orbit. The moon's orbit is roughly, a quarter of a million miles. So this is going to wind up a million miles from Earth. So, you get away from the Earth by going 23,000 miles an hour. Then now you keep slowing down. And they arrange it where you're actually going to fall short, just short of your 4 million of your 1 million mile location. So as it's traveling out, they actually do a burn to make it go faster. But, you know, they burn for like a small thruster for about 40 minutes, and it slowed it down. I mean, it actually increased the speed by about 40 miles, only around 40, 50 miles per hour. The reason they do that is they want this telescope to get out to that 1 million mile location and just stop it. They don't want it to go too far past or too slow. So if you go to their website, they have a good website. It's called, it's easy to get to, it's web.nasa.gov, W-E-B-B, so 2 B's, .nasa.gov. They'll show you
how far this thing is away. And they'll show you the speed, and they show you the speed in seconds, you know, miles.